Hello and a warm welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's final game of the season at Airdrie, gauge who'll be staying and who might be going in the summer, and the departing Simon Ferry will be joining us for one last time. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as always is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are we this week?
Yeah, very well, thanks Colin. Yourself?
I'm not too bad. Final game of the season, that's it, done and dusted. It's May as well, so we're obviously thinking about what's going to happen next season already.
It's fine that we've got a full season.
It is.
First time we're doing the podcast that we've gotten a full season, and it's taken us 3 years.
We've got here in the end, I think we touched on it a couple of weeks ago. It's actually flown in as well.
Yes.
It's gone in pretty quick as well, which is good. Season's now over. And I guess maybe there's an element of it's maybe ending at the wrong time, you know, in terms of the form that we've been showing in the last 5 or 6 games.
Yeah, I think so. I think, first of all, relief that we've sort of dragged ourselves out of the poor form that we're in. And a slight disappointment of a season of what-ifs. I think it was 10, 11 games or something that we couldn't manage to win between January and March, and you just, hey, every club will be saying the same what ifs, but you just think if you maybe put in 2 results together in that run of form, again it could have been a season out of really high hopes.
Oh, and just wonder maybe if you know, we had an extra couple of games, or maybe that run had started a couple of games earlier, we might have even finished at 5th at one point. And in fact, at half time, the way things were going, we were actually 5th at that time. So, yeah, as you said, probably looking back on the season as a whole, maybe one of those, well, yeah, it could have been better, but in terms of the club as a whole, I think we've finished exactly where we would have liked to have finished.
Yeah, I think, as you said, as a club as a whole, we're bang on where I think we should be. But now, as you said, looking ahead for next season, that's the time to kick on, prepare for next season, and look up rather than looking below.
Okay, so last game was at Airdrie. It was much like what we said last week in terms of it was an end of season one draw. It certainly felt like an end of season affair, particularly when you got the Airdrie lineup. So many changes for them. We did speculate last week. Whether or not they would do that, or they would carry on with the team that they've been using in terms of keeping that momentum going ahead of the playoffs. They've obviously went for the former and decided to make a lot of changes, which I guess is he's entirely entitled to do.
Yeah, I thought he might have kept the same team, just or a similar team, just to keep the momentum going. But obviously, it's his prerogative to change the team, and you know he's got to do right by him, for his team. There's got to be a he, for their point of view, they'll be hoping there's a few games coming up in quite quick succession. So, but as you said, it definitely had an end-season feel game to it.
Yeah, as you said, we've finished six games unbeaten. First time that's happened in 2 years, at the tail end of the 18-19 season when we went 7 unbeaten to clinch the title. It's the first time since 2016 that we've managed that kind of run as well. So it is quite a big achievement, I think, as well. We shouldn't really underestimate how difficult it is to put a run like that on.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've said numerous times it's a very difficult division to play in. Anybody can beat anybody. So when you put a run of 6 games, you know, without defeat, it is quite an achievement. And I know that Airdrie is quite a rotated team, but I think it's also just get that little monkey off the back that, because obviously performances doing at Airdrie have really been good of late. So I think it was fine just to get a point on the road as well.
And prior to the game, it was announced that Derek Lyle would be retiring as well. This was going to be his last game. The announcement was on the Friday. Late on in the Friday was quite strange, although it was the Friday, as we spoke about last week, about Simon Ferry's one the week before. But it was probably something that we'd maybe thought was coming, although, you know, he's still relatively fit and he could probably do a job off the bench. But at 41, he'll be 42 by the end of next season. So it was something that was probably coming, but it was, again, maybe something that, as I said last week with Simon Ferry's one, maybe just took the shine off it, but maybe the focus was on him more than the game. But in terms of this one, I think that would be fair enough, because it was the last game. It was a dead rubber, if you like.
Yeah, there was word that Dell might retire end of last season. He was persuaded to stay on for another year, so no great surprise that he decided to hang up the boots from a playing perspective. And yeah, like you said, I think it was much of a shock. It was announced late on the Friday night, and I think he does deserve a good send-off. I don't know if there's going to be something on their social media or what, just recapping his career, but you know, he's, I think some people just think he's played for Peterhead. He's had a very long career, and yeah, he's done really well.
I would say it'd be quite a long recap because he's been going on for since 1999. So on to the game. Sean Want, Andrew McCarthy both missed out because of injury. Flynn Duffy came in as well for Owen Cairns, who dropped out, but Gary Fraser got his first start in the Habershit Chicken back in again. So as we spoke about the last week in terms of Gary Fraser's position, he slotted into that what we'll call the Simon Ferry role on Saturday. And Simon Ferry played in the back four, and for large spells of that game, both didn't look out of place.
Yeah, it was really good to see Gary coming back as well. I think you hinted a couple of weeks back that you thought that the Airdrie game last game of the season might be the one that Gary earmarked for a start, and that proved to be the case. And again, these are they're quality players with Simon and Gary, and I think no matter which position you play them, they're in a really good a place. They're really good football players for the level that we're at.
In the front three, Niall Payne continued up front. Jack Brown was there. It was obviously Hamish Ritchie in. So it was Ryan Duncan had missed out again, but you know, that front three could easily rotate in terms of, you know, rest one, bring one on. So in terms of options in the front end of the park, he's got a lot of good options there.
We're blessed that we've got these guys, because we've maybe hit it in years gone by that you've got the quantity of players to do it, but I think now we've got the quality as well. And I think it's matched up pretty well. As you said, either player can move to the left wing, right wing, up top, and you can rotate all three. You've got somebody on the bench. And I think it keeps that competition for places high as well. And it'll be interesting to see as we go into next season how that's going to shape up.
It wasn't much in the game, not much in the opening few minutes of the first half. A few long-range efforts. Scott Brown had a couple. McDonald for Airdrie, he had one as well. Richie as well for Airdrie. Not to get confused with the two, or McDonald and our Richie having efforts. But they were comfortable saves for both keepers. And as I said, that was how the game was going, really.
Yeah, neither team really set the header alight. As we said, it was almost a dead rubber game. You know, neither team and nothing really to play for, personal pride. The game sort of went how you expected it, and neither team really creating that many chances, to be fair.
Half an hour probably was one of the better chances. I think Scott Brown again involved, heavily involved, obviously dying to get into double figures for the season, something he hasn't done as yet as a Peterhead player. So a good patient play in the build up. Once again, Niall Payne heavily involved, Grant Savory obviously heavily involved as well. And it's I wouldn't say a snapshot, but a shot at the edge of the box. He knows what he's trying to do, he's trying to curl it in, but just doesn't quite catch it, whether or not that's the artificial pitch coming into play.
Yeah, we'll blame the pitch, otherwise I think it was going straight in the back of the net, was it?
We'll be blaming the pitch later on as well.
But as you said, it was good patient build-up, and I think that's something that we had seen, especially in the run that we've been on towards the back end of the season. I think the possession play up top has been really good. Spoke a couple of months ago about, you know, we didn't take as many shots as far as I would like. I think we're trying almost create the perfect goal and you're not willing to take a shot, where the play is now reflecting, you know, reflects that they're willing to take the shot on goal. Obviously Scott didn't quite make it on Saturday, but they're taking the shots, it's good play, and they're working it well in the box.
Right on half time, Grant Savory gets the opening goal. Good play from Simon Ferry getting the short corner, and he's played a good pass to Grant. Wonderful effort. But I would say as well that the pass from Ferry makes it, because if he hits it too hard, he then has to take a touch. If he doesn't hit hard enough, he then has to come on to it. But it's a perfect pass right into his path. And Grant, as we've said before in recent weeks, his confidence is so high at the minute, he's able to just take that one first time. And I don't think it wouldn't have mattered if it... Mark Curry had been in goals or not. Obviously it was a young Jay Cantley that was in goals. I don't think anybody was saving that one.
I think you could have put two keepers in the goal, to be honest, and I think nobody's saving it. And yeah, you're bang on. I think with Grant's confidence just now, He's got the confidence, certainly got the ability, hopefully, to take the shot. But like you said, the pass from Simon Ferrier, it's such a simple thing to say, you know, it's a good pass in, but the weight on it just makes it absolute perfect. Too hard, he needs to take a touch. If it's too soft, he then got to move his body and his positioning across. Perfect weighted pass, he takes a shot, and I don't think any keeper in the league is saving that, to be honest.
It's good to have. I don't know if that's maybe a late contender for goal this season, which we won't throw into the mix as yet. But with himself and Hamish scoring the goals that they've been doing in recent weeks, it could be a really good and fascinating season next season in terms of who could maybe score the better goal out of the two of them, because it looks as though they've got those kind of strikes in them.
Yeah, I think a couple of guys that I work with were saying that you're a bit critical of the Peterhead team and the players. But when you see the quality they've put in the last couple of weeks, it's not criticism for criticism's sake. It's because you know that they've got the quality. These guys set the benchmark themselves. Mm-hmm. When you see what they can do, especially the last 6-7 games, you kind of got the quality. So when they dip below it, that's a frustrating part of it. And I think they've probably got their own competition for goal this season. As you said, next season could be a really interesting one.
Yeah, and throw in Jack Brown into the mix as well, because I think he's potentially got something like that in his locker as well. Into the second half, and the biggest blip, I guess, was the equaliser, Simon Ferrier's own goal. Just an absolute, you just couldn't write it, really. His last game for Peterhead, he hasn't actually scored for Peterhead, he then goes and scores an own goal in his last game. It's just someone who, that, as you said, you couldn't write.
He did say he wanted to score in a Peterhead shirt. Did he specify if it's for or against? Yeah, as you said, really unlucky. It's one of them things, any other time it would sort of go unnoticed, but the fact that it is his last game, yeah, really unfortunate for Si.
I think he just goes with the wrong foot. If he goes with his left foot, it's not going to be an own goal, but I think he's just taking it with the wrong one. It's not much that Brett can do. It's going behind him before he's realised.
I don't think I've seen many passes to Simon Ferrier with left foot either, so he maybe just has got one foot.
It was, I think, the biggest cheer of the game was when the announcer announced it was a Simon Ferrier goal cool. as well, which is a bit of banter, I guess. Then we looked as though we were going to go 2-1 up straight after, almost 2 minutes later, penalty. The award of the penalty, first of all, then, it did look as though, I think, a lot of people, even live at the game, even watching it, maybe thought it was a little bit soft. I think, having seen it again, and I don't know if you agree with me, but it does look as though there is a use of a hand.
Yeah, I think it is soft, if I'm being honest. Given we've had this referee a few times this season, I think we're due a favourable one, to be fair. We've had a few howlers from him, so they say that over a course of a season they even themselves out. It's one of them you certainly take, but had it been against this, yeah, I wouldn't have been best pleased.
The argument from Airdrie's point of view is that the man was outside the box, however his hand was inside the box when it makes contact with the ball, so it's either a really good call by the referee or it's absolute guesswork.
Probably guesswork. Let's be honest. I think I'll give the referee credit for a good call. But yeah, it's an interesting one. I'll be honest, I'm not sure about the rule if he stood outside the box, but his hand's in the box. Again, sometimes you see keepers will stand with their left leg in the box if they're kicking with their right ball in their hand. It's a grey area. I'm not sure, I need to check the rules. But yeah, I'm not giving the referee credit, that's for sure.
We mentioned Scott Brown trying to get his 10th goal of the season, getting himself in double figures. He stepped up to take the penalty. He's missed two or three already this season. I think a lot of people were dying for Simon Ferrier to take it because it was his last game, but I guess Scott, that might have been a conversation they've already had. And he was looking to get his 10th, but this was a poor one because it was obviously he slipped and then he's fired it over.
Yeah, I think, as you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, Scott getting into 10 goals for Peterhead, he's never done. I think had he nae been on 9 goals, I think Simon probably would have gotten to take it. The fact that Scott was looking to get into that 10 goal bracket maybe just swayed it. Wasn't the best of penalties, as you said, he's missed a couple recently. So hopefully, if you know, that can change for next season.
Yeah, as I said, he's missed, I think maybe it's his third one he's missed. Rusty's missed a couple as well, so maybe penalty taking hasn't been the greatest. Maybe the look at, ironically, I think the best penalties we've seen was in the penalty shootout in the cup game.
Yeah.
When all five were pretty much smashed in.
Yeah, it's strange because we look really good against Easter Bay with the penalties, but yeah, there's just something recently where penalty takers just not quite hitting the money.
Look at the substitutes during the game. Then Ryan Duncan came on for Jack Brown quite early on in the second half. And then Alan Cook and Derek Lyle came on for Payne and Fraser. Ryan Conroy and Jordan Brown then came on for Flynn Duffy and Hamish Ritchie. In terms of those kind of substitutions, I think Jimmy maybe said or kind of hinted at the end of the game in his post-match that maybe some of those senior players would be moving on. We obviously know that Derek is moving on, so it might be a case of like Cook, Conroy, perhaps maybe even Jordan. It was almost like, well, that's your kind of last game, if you like.
Yeah.
There's a chance for them just to get another game, if you like.
Yeah, we thought that last week, didn't we, that if there's changes, it might be a final farewell. And yeah, I think when you look at them guys, as in like Cook, Conroy and Jordan, they've been on the bench quite a lot. Again, injuries for one thing or another, where Cook has not quite been on the bench as much, but they didn't tend to come on as often as maybe fit you'd think. I think Jim has got one of the bigger squads in the division, probably needs trim doing a little bit. So it wouldn't be a surprise to see a few of the more senior players moving on.
I mean, Cook's just turned 30, but he's got a lot of bags of experience. That was his 350th game. But I think you said, you mentioned there, in terms of the injuries he's had in the last 2 years, it's probably not helped. It's not helped his cause. Ryan Conroy, on the other hand, he's been fairly fit, but in the last few months he's been injured, and he'll be 34, 35. So he's maybe the age is playing against him slightly.
Yeah, I think in terms of Cook, I think the injury certainly kind of helped him, but also the with him being an attacking player, you're having to try and get players like Zaniah Payne, Ryan Duncan, Hamish Ritchie, Grant Haven. You're trying to get them, you know, out of the team, and they've played really well this last 2 months. Coming back from injury, also as you said, Alan, his age, he's maybe at his stage in his career now that he needs and wants to play regular football, which is maybe something Peterhead at the moment can't offer him because of the younger players that have come through the team.
Yeah, for somebody his age and his injuries, that's probably what he wants to do. It's just trying. It's okay saying that you're fit, but you need that game time. And obviously, if he's not going to get guaranteed that game time, maybe the option is just to move on. But you know, 350 games, just turned 30, he's going to have a lot of experience, and whoever, if he does move on, will certainly pick up a decent player.
Yeah, it's one of them. Obviously, we've got Simon Ferry leaving, Derek Lyle is retiring. You cannot just have a team of young players. You're going to need these experienced guys running about. So it's neat to say that, you know, that there could be a flurry of players leaving. But if there is, you've got to make sure you've got that balance right between the young players and the experienced guys as well, and it's not quite working out.
75 minutes for Gary Fraser. His first start in, 18 months. So it was good for him to get that game time as well. And hopefully that's a preparation for him for next season.
Absolutely, yeah. I was delighted that he got a start, and also he got 75 minutes. He probably got longer than what I thought he was going to get, to be honest, especially on artificial pitch as well. I thought if we got an hour out of him, it would be good. But again, everything's just building for him next season. I'm sure if he gets a good pre-season, you know, I think he is one of the better players that we've got on our team anyway. And if you can add quality around about him, especially in the Simon Ferry role, as we're calling it, I think he'll do a brilliant job there next season.
Yeah, and we're kind of clutching at straws as to things to talk about the game, because it was that, I wouldn't say that poor game, but yeah, as I said at the beginning, it was certainly an end-of-season affair. And there was maybe one or two efforts, I think, Cook having a long range effort towards the end. There wasn't much else, and the fact that there was a dead rubber maybe didn't play into anybody's hands. The only thing really was a chance for Derek Lyle when we score or Jordan to score towards the end.
Yeah, as you said, there wasn't much notes for the game on Saturday, and as you pointed out earlier, both Twitter accounts for Airdrie and Peterhead, you could sort of see there wasn't much riding on the game. Peterhead, final game of the season, Airdrie looking towards the playoffs, and the game sort of went exactly how you'd expect it to go, really.
So as we said, it was Derek Lyle's final game then, a career that did started back in 1999, obviously. It spanned over 4 decades, 687 games in total for Derek, 185 goals. He's kept himself really fit. He's been relatively injury free, I think, for the majority of his career. I think he did have one spell where he was out for about a year with an injury, but apart from that, he's kept himself really fit. But I think it's not just his ability on the park, but I think it's what he brings off the park in terms of his character, and his experience that he certainly has brought to Peterhead in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I absolutely. I think the experience that he brings, obviously, that his game time in recent years has been limited. But I think having him around at the training, on the match days as well, and these young players, Grant Savory, Naya Payne, even Russell McLean, they can learn a lot of things from Derek Lyle. So not only are we losing a great player off the park, I think you're losing a great guy, around about the club as well.
It's some folk might look at it and say, well, he's only scored 19 goals and he's 113 appearances, but a lot of those 113 appearances would have come off the bench.
Yeah.
As I said, it's more what he brings off the field in terms of, he's passing on his experiences to the likes of Naya or last season, to likes of Ben Armour or even this season, even on Rusty, he's still relatively young, so that's going to be a big miss.
I think as a striker you can try and get labelled just with stats too often, and I think okay, the goal ratio maybe just isn't quite up there, but as you said, you break down how many starts he's got to sub appearances, but it's his overall play as well. He's not a player that's going to come deep and chase the ball down and bring players in. He's not that sort of player. But he's a nuisance. He'll drive players wide to create space. So you take everything as a whole, I think you're missing a really good player.
Yeah, and he's looking to go into coaching as well. So obviously he's been doing that for the last year or so at Peterhead. He's obviously gotten a taste for it. So that's where he wants to go, and that's what he wants to do. And as I said, he's got that vast experience. And whoever, if he doesn't stay at Peterhead, whatever he's planning on doing, they'll get a really good coach and a really good guy for them as well.
Yeah, I think no matter how far he goes, he's a respected guy as well, in Scottish football. I think no matter how far he goes, he'll give everything. And for every club he does go to, if he does decide to move on to Peterhead, then they are not only getting a really good coach, but they're also getting a good character as well to hear in your dressing room.
So Rusty ended up finishing the top goal scorer, which we kind of thought after a couple of 2 or 3 yeah. weeks ago. I think anyone who was getting close to him, Scott Brown, obviously finished on 9. Hamish Ritchie and Grant Seary both then finished on 6. Grant with a great wee spell at the end of the season there, 4 goals in his last 5 games, really putting him up and again, almost like what we spoke about with Hamish Ritchie last year. Now we can see what we're going to get. We're almost expecting that next season as well. It's maybe putting a bit of pressure on himself already.
Yeah, I think if you take Hamish Ritchie, his season this season, it's been slightly up and down, and that's only based on what he showed us the back end of the year before when he came in on loan. And it's the same way with Grant Savory now. He's now settled in. Maybe taking him a little bit of time, again, a bit like the Jack Brown situation. He's now settled in, he's got a regular start, he's got the confidence, and you're now seeing what he can bring to the table. And hopefully that is, the benchmark for him next season, that he's got to maintain the 7-8 out of 10 for the rest of the season, for the rest of next season.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I think there's a genuine kind of feel of anticipation now for next season, whereas maybe tail end of last season, maybe we wasn't that kind of expecting for up next season. But for me, I'm really looking forward to the start of next season and even seeing what's going to happen between now and then. Because if these guys can produce what they've produced in the last 6 games, we should be in for a decent season.
I think if you asked anybody 7 weeks ago, there'd be much anticipation the way we were going. But yeah, there's now a quiet optimism of, what could we achieve? And as I touched on earlier on the programme, that we had that spell, January, February, March, where nothing really went for us. a lot of what ifs, but if you put a couple of results, then things could have been different. So you're going into next season with a lot of optimism that you've got these young players that they're going to be a year with more experience. If you can keep the core of the squad together, add some really good additions to it, I really don't see why we should be worried about the bottom half of the table.
Okay, we're going to move on then. As I said at the top of the programme, we have Simon Ferry with us, or not with us, but last week I spoke to Simon, and here he is discussing his time at Peterhead and what he's got up next.
Okay, so joined me just now, Simon Ferry. Simon, probably the last chance you'll be on the podcast because you're departing us.
Yeah, that's one of the perks of leaving Peterhead is it's the last time I'll need to do this podcast.
And you're a two-time...
No, pleasure to come on. Obviously, I podcasts are my sort of thing, so it's good. I think it's good that every team's got a podcast, you know, a voice to the fans, get their frustrations out or get their praise out for players, although sometimes I think that maybe goes a bit overboard when somebody has a good game, but that's what fans do, so... No, but as I say, I think it's good that every team's got kind of a fans side that people can listen in and take on board. So, well done to the 2 years.
You're a two-time guest, so you're a bit of a privileged man to be on twice.
Anyone else done that?
No, not yet.
Good. Big record, good, I like it.
That's it. So, after 7 years, you're calling
it a day. Somebody told me, second time you come on, you take your clothes off.
Oh, at the end, that's what's going to happen. just realise it's not a video, let's just put it that way. Yeah. So, as I said, after 7 years, you've decided you're part of it. Was this a decision that had been coming for a while, or is it something that is maybe just in the last few weeks?
No, probably something that's been coming for a while, just basically with injuries and not really been contributing as much on the playing side, which is really frustrating. You know, the main reason that I'm at Peterhead is to play. And I feel like I get paid quite well for the club to do that. Obviously, I've not been able to fulfil that as much as I'd like to this year, which has seen us take kind of more training sessions and having more a coach's view over the last kind of 18 months. And I've really got the buzz. I've really got the buzz for it. You know, I've absolutely loved doing it, and I can only thank Jim and Davey for giving us the opportunity to do it. But since I've started doing that, and then there was a time this season where Jim actually got his ban. And he kind of let me and Davey go for it on the side and basically saying, if you see a sub that you want to make, just go and do it. And I think it was a Falkirk game away. I was really into the game and I could kind of see the boys playing how I'd coached them. And I thought, I want to do this now. I'm ready to do it. I know I am. Maybe I had a few reservations in terms of trying to read the game, when to make changes, when not to make changes, change shape here and there. But I feel like I'm now ready and at a time where I can go and do that. So that's the main reason why I'm leaving. And again, when you're seeing boys kind of that run we went on and I kind of get on and help them, you kind of feel a wee bit worthless, and you kind of sometimes think the boys maybe think you're at it, you know what I mean? Because the back goes and then you're not seen for 6 weeks on the pitch, 8 weeks, then you come back and you're off after 20 minutes. It's embarrassing, to be honest with you. Like, I didn't want to keep going on like that, so... When mixed with the injuries and then the kind of the buzz for the coaching, it was quite an easy decision to make.
Has the injuries been difficult to deal with in the last year and a half?
No, really, because I've been injured basically in the midst of my career. You know, it's probably my wee fat body that I'm not really an athlete's body, do you know what I mean? And then obviously there's a travelling up to Peterhead as well, so there's times that I've got on the bus at Glasgow and felt okay, and then by the time I got up to Peterhead, I felt I got off my back was sore and my hamstrings were sore. So I think it's part and parcel playing with Peterhead, and obviously my age as well at 34. I played quite a lot of football, but the hardest thing is when your back goes and it's the days after it where you maybe kind of do something on a Sunday with your boys, go and play football with them because your back's been in a spasm the day before, and then you're struggling at your work on the Monday. So I didn't know what to hate that sort of life. I had that at Portsmith with my back, a year of being able to do nothing, basically. So I didn't want to go back to that. So as soon as the back kind of... I could deal with injuries, but as soon as the back went again, it was kind of like, nah, I think it's time to call it a day.
So what part of the coaching did you enjoy the most? And what was the kind of the almost light bulb kind of moment for you and saying, this is really what fit is for me now?
The light bulb moment, mate, was when... for me, like, we were very much a direct team when I first came to Peterhead. And then it's when you see some of the football and the passages of play that, that we work on every Tuesday in training. And that's the thing as well that gave me the wee bit of encouragement. Like, we only get the boys for one night of the week. And I think if I can, not me personally, but me, Jim and Davey, if we can get the boys playing like that one night a week, if I can get my own kind of team for two or three nights a week, then I think I can really do it. So just the development you've seen in players. I still say this to Andy McCarthy now. I remember his debut. He got hooked at half-time against Montrose because he was heavy. He was unfit. He couldn't run. He wasn't brave enough to take the ball. And now when I'm leaving, I leave with him getting Players Player of the Year. And he's an animal. The way he lives his life, his weight, the way he trains, how brave he is at taking the ball. And that's the real kind of buzz that you get for coaching. So I think a manager, a coach, should be judged on, yes, of course, results, but have you made the players that are there better? And I think certainly in a lot of them, they've improved a lot. And that, again, that's not just due to me, that's due to them as well. They need to do that, but that wee bit of coaching, again, it's not just on the pitch. Can you affect their mindset? Can you change their ways off the pitch as well? And I'm a massive, massive believer in that. It's not just going and coaching them for an hour and a half. It's speaking to them maybe on a Monday. Have you been a run today? On a Wednesday? Have you been a run? What have you done this week? Have you done enough? Are you ready to play on a Saturday? So I think, as I say, not just a change in terms of their football, but their mindset as well is where I've got the real buzz.
I spoke to you at the start of the season just before the first league cup game, and you spoke about, you know, maybe slightly changing the culture of the club in terms of signing younger players, getting them on longer contracts. So are you leaving Peterhead in a better place, would you say?
I think so. Like I said, for me personally, I don't know if it's only my opinion, this is the most talented squad we've had at Peterhead. 100% in terms of ability, in terms of people's work rate, in terms of, again, like I said, how they live their lives off the pitch. The most professional it's been, I would say. And yeah, again, it's the type of football that I don't know about you, but as a fan, I want to watch that type of football. I think you can kick a ball up the pitch, and yeah, you might stay up one year, but I think for last year and this year, you can see a real difference in how we play. I know we've not won as many games as we can, but I remember playing for Peterhead, and there's been games where in the past, we've been backs to the wall for a lot of games that season. Bar two Cove games this year, maybe in every away, I can't think of many teams that have came and dominated us. You know, and I think that's a massive thing to achieve. As I say, in terms of the fact that we only get what the boys one night, when most part-time teams and a lot of teams in this league are full-time teams, we train every day, and very rarely do I see a team dominate us. So that's where I've taken a real sense of pride in what we've done.
It's easy to say, but you're quite vocal when you're on the pitch. Is there anybody in the squad there that's going to take over that mantle, do you think?
In terms of being vocal on the pitch, I think Jason's a bit vocal. Sometimes it's a load of nonsense that he shouts, but he's vocal. Jason's a big one for, and I've told him this, Jason's a big one for, come on lads, let's sit together. Where, what does that mean? That doesn't mean anything to me. I would rather see Jason organise people in terms of, if the boy's here, should you be here? Move over 2 yards to your left. But that will come with Jason. But the good thing that Jason's got is he's not shy, and he has got that confidence to be a talker. It might, as I say, it might sometimes be the wrong thing that he says, but he'll give his opinion. But again, I think that will come with experience with Jason. Once he's in a comfortable place in terms of his own game, then I think he'll start to look at where other people are on the pitch and start organising them. But he has, especially the second part of the season, I've seen a big difference in Jason in terms of what he shouts. It's all right shouting, but you need to shout the right things. Andy McDonald, Andy's not bad. Andy's got a wee bit a bit about him. Andy's got an opinion. I think he looks at the game. Who else is there? I think Hamish, Snowgrant. No, it's a quiet group.
It's a quiet group, isn't it?
That is a quiet group. Brett Long again. Brett's got but he's another one that shouts load of nonsense. No, so you'd probably be looking at Jason, I would say, yeah. In terms of being the vocal one. Again, that's probably something that's gone out of football, so isn't it? I think I go and watch a lot of teams, and even the boys in training, I get on to them because they're all such good players, and there's times when I'm looking at them and for the side, and I can see that they're in space and they're not actually demanding the ball, which baffles me. You know, players that we've got, as I say, I think we've got a super talented bunch, but just that desire and that drive to be an animal all the time, demand the ball, demand off others. But again, that might come, you know, they're young kids. I didn't get 21, 22 when I was doing it at Swindon. I was as vocal as I am now, obviously. So I think that'll come in their game.
Which means your highlights at Peterhead then?
Highlights at Peterhead was obviously winning the league. Winning the league was brilliant. I think, in fact, the first year was really good, actually. We had a right good squad that year. Again, probably didn't suit me in terms of the football that we played, but the spirit in the squad was excellent, really good. And then, obviously, I think we had a terrible run after the Rangers game. We couldn't win a game. And we went in the playoffs against Ayr, and I think Rory got sent off, didn't he? Am I right in saying that? Rory got sent off the last game of the season, so he missed one of the games.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think if we maybe had Rory for the two games, we could have beat Ayr. And you look at Ayr, how they've went since then, so how things could have been different if you got into the Championship. And then winning the league was really good. Again, a good group of boys. I thought we played good football that year, like, see, Jack Leach, and really we played a wee bit more. And then obviously getting the coaching on since then, I really enjoyed that. That's been a big highlight for us. So, no, I've had some good times. Obviously, the relegation was terrible. That wasn't good enough. And then we lost the league 1 year, didn't we, to Montrose?
Yeah, the following season, yeah.
I think the league that we won was so much better because the feeling inside that dressing room at the last home game of the season was it Peter McDonald for Stirling that scored
Stirling at last minute, aye.
I thought people were going to punch fuck at each other, to be honest, after that game. But and then Clyde were obviously on a run, but we went to Hamden. I think Jack, it was, I came up the day, didn't it? Jack scored two goals, so no, it was a good way to win it at Hamden as well. So that was probably my biggest highlight.
And it's just Jordan left now for the squad or the team that started in the Rangers game in the Challenge Cup, which is obviously closing of a chapter almost now with that squad.
I don't think, if Jordan's listening, I don't think he knows, but he's going to be getting released in the summer as well, so he'll be away. I don't know what's going to happen. But like I say, that's kind of what happens in football. There's cycles, and like I say, I think it's a very exciting period for Peterhead. I mean, like the teams that we've kind of won League Two, and we've done quite well in League One. We got to the playoffs, obviously. We're nowhere near as talented as what this squad is, believe me. You know, I haven't seen them play, train with them, coaching them. This team is a super talented bunch. And I hope that they can all stay together. And maybe then, for the summer, go and add maybe one or two older heads just to help them that wee bit. I look at Montrose, I think Montrose are better than us. I think when we've played Montrose, for me, I always feel we're the better team, but they've got Sean Dillon at centre-back who's absolutely massive for them. And you talk about somebody that talks through 90 minutes with good information and is an animal when the ball comes into the box. You can see he looks after himself. So we need to sign that type. I think the one player I'd be looking for is a 34, 35-year-old that plays every week, keeps himself in good nick, and is a right good organiser and talking. I think if you can get that, and amongst that good group of boys, I think you could get a Montrose-like season in terms of getting into the playoffs. Obviously, I think the problem was this year that I could have been that person, but I couldn't get on the pitch often enough. And I think even at times, maybe Conroy was injured, but you could have maybe put me in, but Conroy was injured as well. So you never had that kind of older head in there for games. And I think that's probably where we went wrong this year.
As we speak, I know you can't say too much about what your next step is, but what is your future plans then?
It's a wee opportunity that I've got outside the football. It's an opportunity to do things the way I want to do them from top to bottom, and it was just too good to turn down, so we'll be announcing it this week, what the plans are, but I'm really looking forward to it. As I say, it's something that I feel like I'm more than ready to do, so kind of putting plans in place now, for now into next week. And then hopefully once it's announced, I'll be full steam ahead after that to try and be successful.
That's you hanging up the boots completely now, is it?
Well, it depends how bad the team is. I'll need to wait and see. But the plan is maybe not to play as much. But again, where I'm going, maybe I'll not have the biggest budget and the biggest playing squad, so there might be times that I need to play, but fingers crossed for everyone's sake that's not the case.
Is the putting in the coaching routines and making your own stamp of it, is that the most exciting part of it?
Yeah, definitely. As I say, I've got a set way of how I want a team to play, and I know a lot of people do have that, but I feel like I've got the drills and the training sessions to back it up. I think what I've got is I can coach how I want to play, and then also demand standards off of people. What you want to be doing is picking the team at the end of the day. Do you know what I mean? If you're doing all that, you want to be picking the team and you want to be making the decisions. You want the pressure on you. So that's kind of something that I've wanted all year, and that's why I'm going to go and do what I'm going to do.
You've got a final message for the Peterhead fans then?
No, do you know what? The Peterhead fans have been brilliant with me, and it's something that I say to the boys all the time. You'll never get to play in front of a better crowd in terms of, I can count maybe in 7 years how many people I've got on my bat on one hand. So I think they appreciate when you're trying to play good football, maybe hear one or two groans here and there, but it's like I say, this is the perfect crowd for going and playing football, because like I've been at places where if you give the ball away, mate, they'll hound you for 2 minutes after it. Whereas here, as I say, I think they appreciate that the boys are trying to be brave and trying to get on the ball. So now they've been great with me, and even like I say, throughout the town and the people that work at the club and people that come to the games, I couldn't have met a better group of people. So thanks very much. Because I've said it before, I was quite disillusioned with football. I'll be honest, Dundee wasn't a good place to be in terms of the people that were there. I didn't like the atmosphere in the club throughout the full club staff, everyone, fans, same thing. We were top six, mate, and you think we were bottom of the league. We got Dundee to top six, and it was just not a nice feeling about the place, whereas Peterhead's the total opposite. Everyone's made us feel so welcome. They're actually interested in your life, which has been brilliant. So just a big thanks for everything they've done for us.
Well, so it's an absolute pleasure to speak to you once again. It's a pleasure to watch you the last 7 years, and thanks for all the support you've given us as well in the last 2 or 3 years as well. We've really enjoyed it, and I wish you all the success in the future, and never know, we might see you back at Balmoor again one day.
Fingers crossed. Top man, Colin, cheers.
Thanks again to Simon for taking the time out of his busy schedule last week to speak to me prior to the Ayrshire game. But you can just hear this, what's coming through on his, that audio there. His passion is obviously coming to the forefront. He's putting that sort of playing side of his career behind him, and he's looking forward to his next step.
Yeah, it's no surprise he touched on there the injuries that he's had as well this season. He was always going to, you know, maybe look to do things outside football, and you know he's got a great opportunity to do something else. So, you know, that interview there, the enthusiasm that he's got, you can tell he's buzzing to get started in something else. And yeah, I think he's really looking forward to it.
And he's saying there that this is probably the most talented squad that. Excuse me, he's seen certainly in his time at Peterhead, and I think he's probably right. I think what he's right in saying as well is if we can keep the majority of them for next season, we could do quite well.
Yeah, and I think that's where we've got to be looking as a club. You know, I've said it the last couple of weeks, we've got to be looking to see how we can improve on and off the pitch as a club going forward. I think we should be looking higher up the league, and they've just been quite happy to finish, you know, staying in the division. I can, obviously things have been impacted with COVID in the last 2 years, and you know this season was about staying in the division, but next year with the quality that you've got in the squad, you can add a couple of guys in about as well, a bit of experience, then I really do think we should be looking up.
So that takes us nicely onto what we're going to speak about now, obviously the players that could well be staying for next season. Jim maybe did touch on it slightly, and I think we spoke about earlier in terms of the senior players moving on, so there could be a few of them. We obviously know that Derek Lyle's moving on, Simon Ferry's moving on. In terms of loans, was there an argument there's maybe been too many loan players this season? We'll have five that's now finished, add in Lyle Cameron to that, there's six this season that we've had in total. Might that be a path where we would still use it, but maybe not as much next season?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's two sides to a loan. You can have a good player on loan that is just needing game time, and you know, they can be a real good asset to your team. There's also the flip side that when they do well, you lose them halfway through a season. Obviously, we've lost Lyle Cameron. He went to Montrose, and Mulligan was recalled by Dundee. So. And I touched on earlier as well, I think we've got one of the bigger squads in the division, including the loan players in that. I would like to see us going down the route of, you know, we have our players at the club on a 1-2 year deal, and loan players are there to, to assist in an area that we're maybe struggling. So I think if that's an avenue that we can go down next season or the years to come, that we're only taking in players if we really need to, and you're trying to have players signed up. Because I said that the flip side is you can lose them players halfway through a season. It can disrupt your momentum that you're having. But again, it can be a good thing. But I would like to see the core of our squad being retained by the club on 2 year deals if possible.
Yeah, David Wilson's one that's coming back. Grant Serbia has signed up for next season. Hamish Ritchie, Jason Brown, and Jack Brown. So there's a small cluster there. In terms of the ones that are out of contract, is basically the rest. Goalkeeper situation might be the biggest headache for Jim. Obviously, got Brett Long there, Lenny Wilson, and Connor Cullen, three good keepers. I don't think he's going to keep three. The difficulty is who does he then try and persuade to stay? Who then moves on? It might be a case that Lenny's maybe looked at the situation. He's been back up now for three seasons under three different goalkeepers. He's gone to Brora, done quite well there, so he may well be his. He might be looking and saying, well, I'm at an age now where I need to be playing. And that, in an essence, might make it easier for Jim if he does say, right, okay, I want to move on.
Yeah, I was just saying it's okay, Jim, going to the player and saying, I want to retain you for next season, but there is also an argument that a player might come back and say, well, I haven't really been playing. You know, why would I want to stay? And I certainly think Lenny's in that situation. Again, last season it was... start of this season, it was Brett and Lenny battled out the first four games and played two each. And Brett got the nod. You know, does Lenny try and go for one more season? But as you said, it's under three different goalkeepers, or maybe it comes a point in time where Lenny or Jim might decide, look, your future lies elsewhere.
And that's if he's managed to persuade Brett Long to stay. His performance has been that good as well that he might be attracting offers elsewhere as well.
Yeah, I generally think if Brett's with us next season, that is a really good signing. Because I wouldn't be surprised if there is teams looking about. Even when we were playing poor, he was still pulling off really good saves. I remember September, October, you were giving us the save charts, and he was well out in front at one point. So I would go as far as to say, without his saves this season, we would have been in that relegation playoff. I think to keep him next season would be a massive bonus.
In terms of the defence, I think we sort of looked at the defence this time last year, or certainly in the lead up to the beginning of the season, thought that the defence was quite thin. If you look at it in terms of the players that we've got at the moment, you know, Andy McDonald's there, Jason Brown, David Wilson, Rico Katongo were only real out and out defenders, out with the lone ones. So even if we managed to maintain those four, I still think we're looking at, you know, another couple of additions. And it was interesting that Simon saying there that what we should be looking for is a 34 or 35 year old that's going to be playing every game, and that's maybe something that we've lacked this season, particularly at the back, i.e. like a Sean Dillon, as Simon said.
Yeah, I probably agree. The at times where defence has been square pegs and round hole, and at times it's worked, but I would say the majority of the time you'll come unstuck at some point. I think we've got players in the squad that should have been used more. But I think, as you said, rightly going into next season, I think you're probably looking at, even if you retain those four, you're probably still looking for at least another two, potentially three to come in. So I think that is probably the one area of the pitch, a defensive midfielder, and looking at your back line, maybe even include the keepers in that, depending on who's going to stay and go. I think that should be the focus this summer, trying to get a really solid base for next season.
And the right back as well.
Yes.
I know Rico has done quite well there, but he's obviously naturally a left back. And then, if we could really keep him, he'll obviously that'll be his position. But we need a solid right back, I think.
Yeah, I think this season we've just put Abdi's name in a tombola and pulled out who's going to play at right back. You know, I think we've had about at least four or five different players play there. You know, it'd be good to see Donny Strachan. I think he's certainly a player that I think will do really well. But he's just nay for one reason or another, nay got on the side this season. So again, there's maybe an option of him being here next season, but again, we need a natural right back. I think it is an area of the pitch that we've been a wee bit suspect this season as well.
Midfield, again, if we retain everybody, you're looking at Gary Fraser, Andy McCarthy, Scott Brown, Grant Savory, Jack Brown and Hamish Ritchie. I mean, that's a six there that would do well. So, but maybe not much in terms of movement in there. Out of those six, obviously, you like to retain every one of them.
Yeah, I don't think there's any player in there that you would be happy to see go. I think retaining them is really important. And I think it's key for the philosophy Jim's trying to go down. He's trying to get this young, exciting, attacking team. And to me, them players tick the boxes. And also, you've got Scott Brown there with that bit of experience as well.
The front, up front, I should say, then Nia Payne, Russell McLean, John Brown. Again, you'd probably want to keep all three of them. Whether or not you can, in terms of because it's one up front, and that's what he's been playing. But again, maybe looking at a bit more experience up front there. I know Jordan's 29, approaching 30. It doesn't seem to be getting much of a shout either. But in terms of a bit more experience up front, maybe that's an option.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're just playing one up top, you're probably going to need no more than three, you know, out-and-out strikers. I think it'd be interesting to see what route Jim goes down. He started off with Russell McLean and then it changed to Nia around about February time. And, you know, it's coincided with a good run at the end of the season, and Russell really hasn't been in the writing in the last couple of weeks in the squad either. So as good a player as Russell is he going to want to, you know, play second fiddle to Nia? It all depends whether Jim's going to go with two up top. I don't think he'll change formation, but if you've got two, you keep both of them happy. At this moment in time, I think if you're asking who your number one striker would be, I know Russell's got the goals, but I think Nia gives you that better overall play at the moment. So yeah, again, it's one of them things. Are they both going to want to stick around if Jim's going to be playing one up top, knowing one of them's going to be playing the majority coming off the bench?
Even if he does keeps likes Alan Cook, Ryan Corner, which obviously we don't know yet, and the players that we've mentioned, including maybe another couple of defenders, that's a squad about 18-19, which is probably what he'd be used to. I think I mentioned a few weeks ago we've used maybe like 28-29 players, yeah. This season, 30 if you include Connor Collins, so it's a lot of players that it's going through. There is another couple of players, Darren Kesson and Jadel Mushanu. Likelihood is we're probably not going to see them again in a Peter Headship, but you never know, but it's highly unlikely.
Yeah, I don't think the last two will certainly be here next season. I think we've seen it in the last of them. But as you said, a couple of weeks ago, it was like 27, 28 players. And I just think there was a period of time that Jim didn't really care his best formation, his best team, and there was a lot of chopping and changing. I now think he's got the nucleus of a squad that he's happy with, and I certainly don't think we'll see a lot of players coming in. I think he will trim the squad. I think he maybe got not a free shot this season, but it was one of them that, you know, the priority was staying in the division, and I think the board maybe backed him a lot more than what I anticipated would happen with the amount of players that's come through. I think it'll be a trim squad next season, as you said. 18, 19, 20 is normally about the average that Jim goes with. Keeps everybody happy, and I think that'll be the same next season.
And it does allow a little bit of leeway as well in terms of, like, if you've got off to a poor start, then, you know, you can maybe say to the board, like, we need to add another one or two. If he goes in at the start of the season with a 25-man squad and then goes, it goes wrong, maybe the board has as well, you've got 25 players.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
how could it be gone wrong? So I think, yeah, it definitely looks as though it could be a smaller squad. One or two additions in, certainly a more experienced defender at least.
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously Jason's one of our more experienced defenders. He just needs that support as well. I think when Sean came in and Jason came back from injury, they looked really good. I can not say that the experience that I'm needing, but I certainly think if there was an option to get Sean back next season, I highly doubt it. I think Hamilton's got really high hopes for him, but you know, you are looking for that experienced defender just to slot in aside Jason, as you said. Also, we're losing Simon Ferry, so you do need that somebody, especially in that area of the pitch. And then I think we should look really good.
Yeah, as we said last week, I think it's going to be an interesting summer. It'll be, and I really can't wait for the new season to come around. I know that the season's just finished, but we'll look forward to the beginning of the new one already.
And it can't be too long before you get the draw for the Premier Sports Cup. So, is it 7-8 weeks and it'll be back around again?
Beginning really of July,
it's not a long turnaround for the players these days.
Okay, on that note then, we'll end it for this week. Do hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back again next week for what will be our final episode of the season. We'll be bringing you our end of season review as well as our end of season awards. As always, thanks to Martin for joining me again. So until next week, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.